So first things first, at Real Church, one of the things that I try to do is I try to be incredibly sensitive to the moment and to the day and to the things that are going on. And I recognize that today is Mother's Day. Woo-hoo! And part of Mother's Day is a great, great, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful celebration. But also part of Mother's Day is a great, great, terrible pain. And so there's two things that we're learning to deal with inside of Real Church. It's we're dealing with the absolute thanksgiving and we're dealing with the absolute hurt. And I want to honor both of those. That doesn't mean that we're neutral. It means that we can cheer on one side and we can cry on the other. And so I want to let you know what I've been doing for years here at Real Church is I want Mother's Day to honor all women. I want us to honor all of them, whether they've had kids or whether they have tried to have kids, or whether just a woman. I want to be super real. Womanhood is being attacked all over our world. And I want you guys to know I'm an advocate. I'm an ally. I am on your team. I am on your side. I am here to cheer you on and to empower you as best I can. And part of that is to be thankful for, first of all, our moms. None of us are here unless our mom gave birth to us. And so super cool. All of us are thankful for our moms. Now, you may have had a difficult relationship with your mom and life may have not gone super. I get that. There's all that complication. But you're here. Praise God, you're here. And I think the other side too, in parenting, even in my life with Danielle and I, we have two children, but we could have had three. And so even within that parenting style, we lost. We had a miscarriage. We had pain. And even in being a mom, there's so many emotions and pieces to it. And being a husband, trying to support your wife, there's so many emotions of what you can do and what you can't do. And then there's people who've tried to have kids and never have been able to. And then there's people who are single thinking, I'm going to be single the rest of my life and I'll never, you know. So there's so many wide gamut. Let's just stop for a second. And turn, if there's a lady, if there's a woman near you, just look at them and cheer them on. Just seriously, in this room, cheer them on. Good job, guys. Whoop, whoop. Okay, I literally want you guys to know I am so thankful for you. It takes a village. I remember Danielle and I, we had two amazing teenagers that saved our marriage by taking our children away from us and allowing us to just go out and breathe. It takes a village. Amen. And so let's praise God for the young ladies in our church who take and shepherd little kids away from us so we can breathe. I know it's been COVID, but I want to let you guys know this. There are aunties in this church. There are wonderful babysitters in this church that once the CDC says that we can, we will. And we will come in and support you and let you guys go out on something that's called a date. I don't know if you guys know what that is. If you've forgotten what it is, we can give you instructions. We've got some education, you know, seminars that we can put you on. And basically, you can just get in a car and drive around the block. That counts. So we want to let you guys know we love you. We're here to support you. And reinforcements are coming soon. Amen? Okay, so let's jump into Acts chapter 19. I am excited to teach on Acts chapter 19 because Acts chapter 19 just jumps into the thick of it. And I can't even use the real word that I wanted to say, but Acts chapter 19 jumps into the junk. It literally goes, oh, let's talk about Ephesus. Let's talk about what's really going on in this city that is glamorous, that is glorious and gorgeous and philosophical and heady and intellectual. And this is very much like our centers in America today. This is New York. This is Chicago. This is LA. This is San Francisco. This is Seattle. This is Houston. This is Dallas. This is Austin. This is Miami. These are big, huge cultural centers that get together and they actually start to, let me be super real and honest, honor flesh. They start thinking that they as humans are the end-all, be-all, and they are just so brilliant and they want to prove it. Now, years ago, when I was a pastor at my previous church, I was in my office and I was sitting there working and I was doing some things and a knock was at my door. And the knock at my door asked for me to come into a meeting. I was like, okay, but I was given clear instructions. I want you just to come into the room, sit and pray, don't talk. And I thought, okay, so let me pause. We were young. We were cavalier. We were always playing jokes on each other. So I thought, ha, they're trying to get me in a joke. So I was ready for this. I was ready for the joke. And I went into the room and I sat down in the room, and a young man that I knew, that I had seen and I had watched for the last year and a half, was sitting in a chair. And there was another man in the room that I knew, and there was another pastor in the room that I knew. And I sat down in the chair and I looked at this young man that I had seen before, and he looked weird. Weird. Not on drugs weird, like completely weird, like abnormal weird, like not human weird. And I'm looking at him thinking, oh, this joke is good. These guys have really, really brought this up. They're planning to do this. And so I'm sitting there, and the other pastor in the room starts to speak to this young man, and a voice of absolute ugliness and evil slid out of this young man's mouth. I was like, I didn't know that he was a ventriloquist. I didn't know that he had these skills. I didn't know that he could change the timbre, the tone, everything about his voice. He absolutely switched it. And I was like, oh, dang, you're skilled. This is amazing. But then the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, this is no joke. This is no joke. And I want to set up for you guys, this sermon is no joke. Let's pray together. Let's stop for a second and let's stop what we're doing and recognize that your pastor is taking you into a room and we are diving into it. And I'm praying protection over you, and I'm praying truth, and I'm praying love over you and I. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you shine your light on our lives, in our houses, in our homes, in our hearts, in our minds, in our dreams, in our hopes, in our plans, in our fears, in our hurts, that you, mighty God, would shine your light, that darkness would flee from your light. Father, I pray you protect us as we come before your truth, that, Lord, there's going to be distractions, there's going to be internet problems, there's going to be phone calls, there's going to be tons of things that are going to come against us that are going to try to distract us from hearing the truth. And Heavenly Father, I pray that we as a body would focus in on you. So God, if we start to get headaches, if we start to get lost, God, that we would have divine focus and that we would have divine protection that comes from you, so that we can hear the word of God and that our lives can be changed and we can be sanctified and we can be grown into what you have planned for us. In your name, we pray. Amen. I'm sitting in that room. And all of a sudden, considering distractions, I've got a dog who's concerned about me, which is super cute. Welcome to doing church at home. So I'm sitting in this room. This voice comes out. And I'm like, okay, this is strange. What do I do? And I was like, oh yeah, remember the plan. Stay quiet and pray. So I'm praying. And all of a sudden, this young man starts to swivel in his chair. In other words, he's doing such ab workouts and his obliques, it's insane. Now, let me help you guys out. This guy was a musical artist, and so you know he never worked out. So he's literally is bent over and goes all the way around and back and goes all the way around again. And he just keeps this super slow motion doing it. I'm even going too fast. And I'm like, how is he doing that with his core? He must plank a lot. I'm trying to use humor to be able to grapple with what's going on and what's happening in front of me. And the other man and the other pastor start praying, and they start talking to this demonic entity that is inside of and on this young man. And I start to realize, oh, I'm in the deep end of the pool now. They don't train you for this. They don't teach you about this. Because remember, I've taught you guys before about the tripod of God, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. I was trained Jesus, God, and the Bible. Like that, those were my trinity. Those were my three, except Jesus and the Bible are the same. That's still one stick. Because if you don't have to deal with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to deal with the demonic. And if you just avoid the demonic and you just avoid the Holy Spirit, you're fine and you just kind of move through life and you're okay. That's like when you're walking by a car accident, you shield your kid's eyes and say, don't look, and the police officer says, there's nothing to see here. That has been a lot of Christianity for many years. Except our church fathers, Calvin, Luther, Zwingli, they all knew about the demonic and they wrote about it. They dealt with it. somewhere along the line, we decided we don't have an enemy, which has created a lot of problems, because when you believe you don't have an enemy, you find other people and you make them your enemy. So I'm sitting in this room, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit pushes on me, speak. Open your mouth and speak. And I started having an argument with God. I was like, God, you don't know the rules. I was told to come in here, sit and not talk, to only pray, and I'm not supposed to speak. The Holy Spirit said, open your mouth and speak. I said, God, I'm all about authority. I'm all about listening to what I've been told to do. My authority told me to come in here, sit down, and God said, I am your authority. Speak. Do you guys get how many times he told me to speak? Christian, fourth usually brings discipline. God speaks once, he speaks again, and on the fourth, we're like, oh my gosh, why are you disciplining me? He's like, he three-timed me, and I knew it. I had to open my mouth, and I had to speak. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I hadn't read a book on it. There wasn't any training. I didn't get like a cool manual, some policies. I didn't have a cool like Demon Slayer shirt or something like that. I didn't know Darren that well to borrow it from him. So what I'm trying to say to you guys is I had no idea what to do. Let me help you out. The Holy Spirit will lead you and teach you and train you in everything you need to know if you're just willing to learn. Amen. And in that moment, I got Holy Spirited. And I opened my mouth, and out of my mouth came the voice of God, and it called the demon by name and told it to stop. At that point, I was scared out of my mind. And I wasn't the only person in the room who was scared out of their mind. The pastor who came and got me was scared out of his mind. The young man who brought his friend in was scared out of his mind. And they were no longer scared at the demon guy. They were scared at the demon pastor. They were like, what in the heck did you just do? So they called a timeout. So let's meet outside. Holy Spirit said to me, no, 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 Nathan, you don't leave the room. You tell that demon it doesn't mess with that young man. It is to be frozen and not to move, not to talk, not to look for any help. It can't leave. It can't go anywhere. It can't breathe. It can't do anything to this young man when you leave the room. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to say those things. And again, the authoritative voice of God came out of me at this young man, and he was spinning and he stopped. And the other two people in the room were even more scared. And I was even more scared than they were scared. I was trying to figure out what in the world's going on. So we walked out of the room. We shut the door. We tried to compose ourselves and be professional. And the two other dudes were like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. I thought it was a joke. What are you doing? Why did you bring me in? How come? I was having a great day. And then all of a sudden you bring me in a room. There's a guy who's spinning. And then the Holy Spirit does. We could have avoided this. Don't you feel that way sometimes? We could have avoided this. What if God doesn't want you to avoid it? What if God wants you to deal with it? That's where my journey started. And then I jumped into Ephesians 6:12 and I was reminded. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Follower of God, wherever you are at and the problems that you're coming up against, it's not your mayor, it's not your board of directors, it's not your school board, it's not your police department, it's not your fire department, it's not the unions, it's not your government that's your problem. Your problem is there is a cosmic battle where one wants to destroy God's creation and ruin it and smear it in God's face. And God wants to love on his creation and call them home. And you and I are in that battle. For those of us who call Chicago home, oh, we are really in this battle. This city has been a place of death and violence for 200 plus years. This city has been a destructive place of lies and deceit and power and greed and gluttony. Just start naming all the sins. Chicago nails it. They may not get the first place medal. They may not get gold, but they're definitely silver. They podium in sin. Just think about that for a second. And you and I are right here in the middle of it. And boy, is life tough, isn't it? It's tough just to get anything done in this city. It is difficult, more difficult than it should ever be in this city, just to smile at somebody. This city hides information and doesn't want to tell you how to do things. It wants you to jump through hoops and it wants you to grease palms. This city is difficult. If you don't think this city is difficult, the FBI and the United States of America believe and have published that Chicago is the most corrupt city and Illinois is the most corrupt state in our union. That's hard to do. Louisiana is still in the union. Just sit there and think about that for a second. You guys are like, oh my gosh, you totally offended Louisiana. I could have picked any state, guys. Come on. But Illinois is the best at corruption. We have sent more governors to jail. In Chicago, we have more aldermen and more political people being jailed and fined because they've been stealing and lying and cheating. We currently have three of our major people inside of Illinois all under FBI investigations. We're in the middle of corruption. And Chicago loves doing corruption. And God loves healing. You have an enemy that doesn't want you here. You have an enemy that's trying to push you out. You have an enemy that's trying to give you every reason to leave the city, every reason to leave Real Church, every reason to get out so that he can keep this city dark. He wants every single little light of mine to stop letting it shine, and he wants you to go to the suburbs and go out there and have a great Christian party so he can own the cities and they can decay and they can die and we can go back to the 1980s. Anybody know American history? You leaving the city takes salt and light out of the city. When salt and light leaves the city, you get ugly, disgusting, dark, and just terrible pain. You get what happens and starts to push you in a direction that tells you, don't be here. You're not wanted. You're not loved. And God is saying, no, 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 no. You're wanted. This is where I want you. This is where I want you to be. And so now we start to battle. We start to jump into the battle. We start to jump into the fight. So here we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, protect us. Heal our minds. Take away these headaches. Take away these body aches. Take away these distractions. God, we want to focus in on you. Let your glory shine. And we ask for your help, mighty God. In the name of Jesus, amen. So let me front load this sermon. I'm going to give you all three points at the very beginning. And then I'm just going to ask you three questions that have to do with the points. Point number one, the enemy is demonic. Point number one, the enemy is demonic. The enemy is not your wife. The enemy is not your kids. The enemy is not your principal. The enemy is not flesh. The enemy is the demonic. The enemy is not your pastor. The enemy is not the police. The enemy is not the white person, the black person, the Asian person, the Hispanic. The enemy is not God's creation. The enemy is the demonic. You don't believe me? Go back to Ephesians again. Read Ephesians 6:12. You know what? Let me encourage you. Read the whole book of Ephesians. Then come argue with me. I'd love to hear it. Point number two, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Your flesh isn't the Savior. Education isn't the Savior. Equity isn't the Savior. Equality isn't the Savior. Some new philosophical idea is not the Savior. Marxism, communism, capitalism, any ism is not the Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came down to earth, lived and died for you and I so relationship can come back together with God and we can fight the demonic, is what the solve is. It's the name of Jesus. Holly sang it. Matt sang it. You sang it. It's the name of Jesus. Don't think it's the flesh. Don't think it's your bank account. Don't think it's your car. Don't think it's your clothes. Don't think it's your house, your heating, your air conditioning. It is not the flesh that saves you. It is God's Spirit that saves you. Point number three, God does miracles through whatever he chooses. You are not in control of God, and I am not in control of God. God can do what he wants to do. Let me help you out right now. Real Church is a miracle. Real Church is a miracle, and let me just tell you why. I don't know if you guys who've been a part of the church, 6 years ago, I fell apart as your pastor because I thought I was done and I had destroyed my family financially and I had brought us out here to Chicago for ruin. Because in order for a church of to handle my pay and to handle my level of health coverage and to handle what it costs to have me as a pastor, we need to be a church of 250 people. And so when I got here, my goal was to grow our church to 250 people as fast as I could so that the amount of money that we had saved that we started to burn through, we could meet a point where the church could handle it and the church could take care of it. And I started watching the money just start to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And I watched our church hold at 30. And I thought, man, I've screwed up. Have you ever been there? Have you ever made a really bad financial decision? A really, really bad financial decision. That's what I felt. I have made a really bad financial decision. I had mortgaged my family's future. I took a $50,000 loan out against my retirement so that I could come here and do this. Like, I went all in, and many of you guys went all in, and I went all in, and it felt like this was a bad decision. Let's just talk about God's glory. It's been 8 years, and God has provided for me and my family. I have no idea. It makes no sense. I have friends who ask their friends, how in the world does your little tiny church pay for your whole pastor? And literally the answer is God. God has blessed you guys way over crazy. Okay, I know it. And you guys have been way over generous. Crazy. And then God has gone, oh, you've been generous? I'm going to give you even more. And you're like, well, you know what, God? Take this. We're going to be even more generous. And God's like, oh, you think you can bring some Malachi, press it down, shake it together, running over? I'm going to bring it even more. And then you were like, well, we're going to be more generous. And then he's like, you get a house and you get a house and you get a house and you get a, God went full Oprah. And then God went, you get a job, and you get a job, and you get a job, and you get a raise, and you get a raise, and you get, we get a raise, right? And my dog's jumping. Okay, it makes no sense. My buddy Darren sits in his PJs and makes thousands of dollars. And what's crazy is people call him to give him money. What? Okay. God can use whatever he chooses. Amen. Does that make sense? So let's go through the points. Enemy bad, God good, God does what he wants. Do you guys get it? And that's what we fight all the time, right? I just went into basics. Well, I don't like what God is doing. Oh, that's point number 3, 2, 1. So let's jump into it together as we jump into Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Real Church. Yes. There's already miracles going on. You just don't see all of them. And God was already doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Oh, I loved reading commentaries this week by people who are an amazing Christian scholars that don't believe the Holy Spirit exists. I read about a scholar who said, well, clearly Luke was wrong with what he was writing and he's embellishing and these things are not true. Hold on, pause, idiot. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. You may not like the Word of God because you're arrogant and you're prideful, but the Word of God is true and Luke didn't mess up. You're telling me this highly detailed doctor messes up Acts 19. Like he just had a bad day and he's just going to write this. No, Luke is having his mind blown. He's a firsthand witness to this going on and he's watching it happen. And Paul's having his butt kicked. Paul is being beaten, stoned, humiliated, chased, mocked, and Paul isn't quitting. Paul's not quitting. Paul's like, bring it on. I am the Lord's. He can do with me what he wants. Bring it on. And God goes, oh, Paul, you know what? You're so busy already. I'm going to send your dry cleaning out to heal people. God can do anything he wants. Your car parked in a neighborhood that you decide to park can bring glory to that neighborhood. Do you ever pray over your car that your car would bless the neighborhood that you're parked in? You sitting on a bus, riding through, light through corridors through the city. You on the L, you on a high rise up above the city, praying for the glory of God all over the city. You below the city, praying for underneath of what it has to do. You in the north, you in the south, you in the west. You know what? If you're even out on Lake Michigan, praying for it all. You are salt and light. You and I are handkerchiefs and aprons. Ever want to be a handkerchief for an apron? A handkerchief gets snot on it. A handkerchief gets blood on it. A handkerchief wipes sweat off of it. Are you willing to be a servant? An apron gets flour on it. An apron gets blood on it. An apron gets just butter on it. It gets milk on it. An apron gets messy. Are you willing to be an apron and a handkerchief and let it get messy so that people can get healed and saved? Verse 13 gets good. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Pause. I got to go quick. It's already 11:04. I know I started a little bit late, but I got to go quick through this. So here we go. There's a bunch of people who are running around making money casting out spirits. So apparently there were spirits to cast out. Well, some people go, well, now that we're educated and we have the internet, there's no need for demons or angels. Come on. Come on in your educated stupidity, your philosophical arrogance. Stop it. Satan still wants to destroy you just as much as he wanted to destroy Adam and Eve. He's still coming after you. So they got these groups of guys going around and they're getting rid of demons and they're getting paid to do it. So apparently they can do it. And or maybe it's a show or a sham or whatever. But here we go. They show up with an evil spirit and they say, I adjure you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul proclaims. Ooh, there's so many mistakes in this. When I meet with Christians, there's so many times where Christians say things and I'm like, oh my gosh, you messed up what you said. But they're in the big boy leagues right now. This is not where you mess up what you're saying. When you're in an aircraft and that aircraft loses its altitude, you better remember what they taught you. You put the mask on you first, and then you put it on the child. You make sure your seatbelt is buckled. You make sure you know where that life vest is. You see, what we think as Christians is, well, I'll never need that information. I'll never need to know that until you do. That's why they, every single time you're on a plane, they train us. Do you tune out? Do you tune out or do you pay attention to that precious person in the middle showing you how to put in a belt buckle? Sometimes I'm your pastor and all I'm doing every Sunday is your guest. He's so boring. All he does is teach us how to put on a belt buckle. Well, it's important if we ever lose cabin pressure and drop. Here we go. I adjure you by the name of Jesus who Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them. Woo! Jesus, I know, and Paul, I recognize, but who are you? The Greek says, Jesus, I am fully aware of, and I know him to be Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I know exactly who Jesus Christ is. And I recognize this Paul dude. I've seen him doing the work of God Almighty, and I see him doing what he's supposed to do, but who are you? Question number one, who are you? Who are you? Where's your identity coming from? Where do you stand? Are you standing on the identity that you are male or you are female? Are you standing underneath the identity of your race? Are you standing underneath the identity of your occupation or your education? Are you standing underneath the identity of who your parents are? Are you standing underneath the identity of your generational connections all the way back to the Mayflower or somewhere else? Where are you getting your identity from? Because ultimately, it matters. Whose are you? Is very, very, very important. You see, these priests of Sceva were not Jesus's. Now, there's a good chance they were Yahweh's, but if they would have evoked the name of Yahweh, if they would have talked about God of Abraham, if they would have talked about Jacob and Isaac, they'd have a shot. But their legal argument is wrong. what they're doing is they're grabbing some cool things that they've seen said and done, and they're trying to flavor it into their life and use it. Trying to up their game. And they run into a spirit who ups its game. Who are you? Where does your identity come from? One of the biggest things that we've seen revealed in the pandemic is a lot of people have realized that their occupation should not be their number one identifying value. Let me help you out. Your character should be your number one value. Who you are as a person, as a human being, as a lover, as a friend, who God has made you to be should be your identity. Your identity should be through Christ. Your identity should be through God the Father. Your identity should be through the Holy Spirit. And here's the problem. We keep taking our identity away from it. Let me help you out. Whenever our identity is not on God the Father, God the Son, or God the Spirit, it's an idol. Let me say it again. Whenever we're not in the Trinity and we get our identity from something that is not God, it's an idol. You can get your identity that you're a mom. You can get your identity that you're married. You can get your identity that you're single. You can get your identity that you're a college student. You can get your identity anywhere and everywhere. Idols are available. Call right now. Okay? What I'm trying to say to you guys is it's really easy to get distracted. Amen? Amen. And there is an enemy that's whispering to you. Get distracted. Get distracted. Get distracted. How dare he preach about the demonic on Mother's Day? This is your day. This is the greatest day that you should be. It all is about you. No, this is the day the Lord has made. It's about him. On your wedding day, it's not about you. It's about the ultimate bridegroom who will one day come for his bride, the church, and take us to eternity. The marriage ceremony is to remind you about him. It's still his day. Your birthday, it's not about you. It's about him. Who are you? Verse 16. And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them. I love the word mastered. He beat the tar out of them. And overpowered them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Let's do this again. There were seven of them and one of him. Seven came out naked and wounded. Woo. So what does this mean? What this means is the demonic is real and you better not mess with it and you better understand what you're doing and why you're doing when you're doing it. Now I'm going to confess, I am not the most loving pastor you will ever have. But if you come up against this, I'm the pastor you want to have. Just being super real and honest. Why do you think God sent me to Chicago? And I get it. There are times where I don't say the most loving things. Have you been around military warriors who've seen combat, who've done stuff? They're not smooth and fluffy and lovey and giggly. They're just not. They've seen too many things. And they're looking for things. It doesn't give me an excuse to be rude. That doesn't give me an excuse to not work to love. I will work to love. I really will. But when it comes down to it, I will fight for you. I will war for you. I will give up nights of sleep. I will cry through the day. I will fast and I will sacrifice for you and your family. We need more warriors, don't we? And we also need incredibly loving people. We need the full body of Christ doing their job. And it's wrong for us to go to somebody who God has made totally loving and sweet and comforting. We're like, well, you better be a warrior. No, we want them to be who God made them to be. You be you. You be the character God made you. And we bless you in it because we need it. Point number two, who's mastering you? Who's mastering you? Notice it says in verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them, number one, he was being mastered, and then he mastered the seven. Who's mastering you? Did you get cocky and walk into something that you thought you could handle? Did you get close to a fire thinking that you wouldn't fall in? Did you think that you could jump from a high height and not land and get injured? Did you forget how fragile you are? Were you Icarus? Did you fly too close to the sun? Who's mastering you? Is your flesh mastering you? Is this city mastering you? Are the philosophical ideas of our world mastering you? Is the new rhetoric that you're hearing from political parties, TikTok, Twitter, from Instagram, whatever it is, the music that you're listening to, is it mastering you? Let me help you out. Yes. What you take in is what you are. What your eyes see, what your ears hear, and what your mouth eats is what you are. When you take it in, it's you. You better be very careful what you're taking in. I've been working out. I've been doing exercises. And this one trainer who doesn't know me, never will, said very clearly, my goal for you guys is to work out more days than you don't work out. For you to be doing at least 4 days of exercise and take 3 days off. Let me tell you guys, as a pastor, I want you to be spiritual 4 days at least each week. Find something to do and to grow yourself spiritually at least 4 times a week. More than you don't grow yourself. I'm not saying you need to go 7 for 7. I'm not saying that you need to do like 90 minutes. No, just give yourself 3 minutes a day, 4 days a week, minimum. And then you can bring it up and you can do it. You can get some better stuff that you can do. You can get your spiritual lungs can handle more air. You can do these things. What is mastering you? Is your anger mastering you right now? Is your fear mastering you right now? Is your worry mastering you right now? Is it just that you're upset and you're done, and so your impatience, is it mastering you right now? And more importantly, let me ask this terrible, terrible, terrible question. Is what's mastering you mastering the people around you too? Is it coming out of you that you're beating other people and that what's impacting you is impacting others? Sometimes. Point number three, or question number three, who's wounding you? Who's wounding you? Now, these Skeva guys could have come out and they could have yelled, God, we hate you. You weren't there for us. And God's like, I didn't attack you. Well, God, you should have protected us and not let it happen. God's like, you should have been smart enough not to walk in that room. Like, I don't know what to tell you here. And you didn't call on my name to help. That's like me being upset at the police because I never dialed 911 and they didn't show up. They didn't know to come. Who's wounding you? Years ago, I was in marriage counseling with my wife. Clearly, I was in marriage counseling with my wife. Now, I have to say that because sometimes I'm the marriage counselor on the other side. But I was in marriage counseling with my wife and we were learning on a subject. And one of the teachers was teaching me about being a tool. And let me describe to you what I mean about being a tool. And I'm describing this from the demonic. In other words, the demonic wants me to injure my wife, and the demonic wants my wife to injure me so that our marriage is destroyed and we injure each other and we're not together. That's the goal of the enemy. A lot of times we try to figure out, what's God's will for my life? Why don't you flip it for a second and ask, what's Satan's will for my life? To destroy you, for you to be divorced, to you to be destitute, angry, and just enraged and alone. That's his goal. God's is the opposite. He wants you in community. He wants you to be loved. He doesn't want you to be alone, and he wants you to grow, and he wants you to heal. You're like, but that hurts. Yeah, but less than the other one. So we were in this counseling session, and he was talking to me about, he said, Nathan, think about people sometimes as a tool. And I was like, that's pretty messed up. He's like, no, it's not at all, because you and I are the spiritual implements of God. God says you are a pot, and you're like clay, and he's the maker of it. He says you are the spiritual implements in Hebrews that he places you inside of the Holy of Holies. You are a tool. You are an object, Nathan. I was like, okay, fair. You use scripture, so I have to agree with you. So what I want you to understand, he says, okay, you're a tool. Now, let me use an example, me personally, because I'm going to take what he told me, and I'm going to make it me. Let's say I plant a beautiful cherry blossom tree in front of my house. And this cherry blossom tree is mature. It's 8 years old. It's got a good trunk to it. And it's growing. And it's absolutely flowering. It's just beautiful. But one morning, I come out. And I see laying on the ground a massive hatchet, a machete, just laying on the ground right next to my beautiful tree. And I see that something has just been beating on that tree. And so much so that it's just cut the tree. And the tree has fallen all the way over. and the tree's destroyed. My neighbors come out and they're all around me and they're all watching and they're looking to see how I'm going to respond. And I run out to the grass and I start cussing and cursing the tool and yelling at it and screaming at it. And I'm going to get you. My neighbors would think I'm an idiot. My neighbors would be like, Nathan, that tool didn't do it on its own. Something had to grab the tool and use it. What's grabbing you right now and using you? Is it the Spirit of God that's grabbing you and using you to bring love, joy, peace, patience? Oh my gosh, he's quoting the fruits of the Spirit. Just shut up, Pastor. For 8 years, you've been saying it. Let me pause. I'm going to be saying it for 80 more. These are the answers to our problems. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, they're hard. Oh, they're hard. Rage, malice, gossip, anger, murder, slander, hate. Those are easy, aren't they? Isn't our world nailing those right now? You and I, the people of God, the people of the way, must be mastered by God. We must be mastered by the Spirit of God. We must be mastered by Jesus. We must be mastered by Paul. Paul says, follow me as I follow God. Let me help you out. If God is asking Jesus to follow him, which Jesus says all through the Gospels he was asked to do and he is doing, and Paul is saying he's following Jesus, and then Paul is saying, follow me as I follow God, I can say, follow me as I'm following God. It's not a cult. If we are in line and we are in obedience, doing what the Father wants us to do, and all of our authority is correct, we're good. We're good. And you as a person inside of your home, you as a man of your home can say, follow me as I follow God. You as a mother can say to your kids, follow me as I follow God. There may be times where your spouse is too weak and the wife has to say to the husband, follow me as I follow God. We're going to heal you. We're going to get you back where you need to go. And we're going to get you back in that spot. And we're doing this. We can do it. What's mastering you? And right now, what's mastering us is the anger of the world. The expectations of the world, the fear of the world. It's coming at us so hard and so fast. Right now, if you turn on any news media outlet, let me help you out what you're going to see. Write this in your notes. Conflict. 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 Conflict drives their profits. Conflict grows their business. Conflict allows them to be on for 24 hours. And all they're going to do is keep finding conflict. Do they really want a race war? No, but they want conflict. Do they really want the White House and the Capitol raided and attacked? No, but they wanted conflict. Do these politicians really want the rhetoric? No, they wanted conflict. We got to be careful as voices who speak out loud, who are public, if we are riling conflict. And you guys have been hearing my heart for 6 years, drawing down the conflict. And I've been hated because of it, because I won't raise the conflict. There's a famous soccer coach in Europe who's also trying to calm people down and trying to bring tensions down. And this one's he's getting assaulted. It's a normal tactic when you try to calm people down. They attack you. If you're not joining in with their craziness, then you're an enemy. That's not who we are, guys. We line up with God, the rule, reign, and authority of the King. We already know who our enemy is. It's the demonic. It's not you. So who's wounding you? Are you wounding yourself? Do you have language in your head where you're wounding yourself, where you're putting yourself down, where you're doing all this self-doubt, where you have tapes that play inside of your head that loop, that you're ugly, that you're stupid, that you're dumb, that you're thought down of, that you're not beautiful, that you're not a daughter or a son of the King? What is playing in your head? Chelsea and I were talking this morning. We want to teach you how to press delete. Amen? Yes. Get rid of it. Own it. Tell people, man, I just keep having these insecure thoughts that keep rolling in my head. When you say it out loud, you hear the stupidity And you're like, oh, that is dumb. I shouldn't do that. You are being assaulted and attacked in your mind, and the enemy is whispering doubt in your ear and whispering fear in your ear. What is God whispering? What is God speaking? What is God saying to you? God is saying, put on the armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the belt of truth. Hold the sword. I mean, look, he's just saying, just do it. I've equipped you. And I want to remind you guys, some of you guys are running out of the house naked. You're not wearing your spiritual armor. Put it on. Who's wounding you? Verse 17, and this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. This story got around that people tried to use God's name wrong. But it's so weird. Your apron and your handkerchief can be used, and it's not even used in the name of God. You didn't even know it was being used. Earlier in Acts, it was Peter's shadow. Peter would walk by and his shadow would hit people and they would be healed. Your presence reflects God's presence. You and I are ambassadors and we represent the King. It wasn't Peter's shadow that healed. It was God's shadow that healed. It wasn't Paul's handkerchief that healed. It was God's cotton that was woven into that healed. It wasn't the apron. It was God Almighty that healed. Amen. We got to get back to letting God do what he does best, doing whatever he wants, and us not telling him what to do. Verse 18. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. Write in your notes, repentance. Write in your notes, transparency. Write in your notes, honesty. When you are transparent and you repent and your honesty, there is a pool of grace that is so deep and so wonderful and so loving that is so available to you. Call now. Operators are standing by. There's grace available. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found out that it was 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Thank you, Holly. I got that text message. I am preaching love. I'm going to keep it up. Here we go. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now, let me explain to you what they gave up. 50,000 silver pieces translate to 35,000 drachmas. A drachma was a day's wage. They gave up 35,000 days of wage. What is your day wage? Just sit and think about it for a second. Even in America, our day wage dwarfs. The poorest Americans, our minimum wage dwarfs. Please allow me some grace. I'm going to say 60% of the world easily. Easily dwarfs it. And even where you're at, oh my gosh, giving up a day wage. In other words, what they had invested in, what they had spent money on, what they had put into, they got rid of and burned it. What emotional investments have you made that you need to burn? What physical investments do you need to put in the trash outside? Now, I'm not saying I'm against Harry Potter. That's not where I'm going. I know Christians are like, oh my gosh, get rid of all that. No, don't get rid of Harry Potter. If you get rid of Harry Potter, you got to get rid of all the Old Testament books too. We got to keep the scriptures. You guys just haven't read the scriptures to know there's massive amounts of sorcery and crazy stuff going on in the Old Testament. Just read Judges, okay? So what I want you guys to know is hear this. Whatever limits you, and whatever masters you that's not of the kingdom of God, those are the things we have to be careful with. So you say, Pastor, I get it. Let's open a Christian mall. No, wrong move. We still have to be in the world. It's the same argument that I said in the beginning. We don't run out of Chicago. If we leave Chicago and we pull all the salt and light out of the city, it becomes decayed. It's the same with the school systems. You leave the school systems, look what happens. Christians, we were designed to be in the world, but not of it. What is it that you need to get rid of? What is it that you're watching that's not improving your marriage? What is it that you're spending time next to that makes you angry? What is it? How about limit it? Get more. Okay, nutrition. Let's just talk food for a second. What things in the middle of the grocery store are you eating? And what things on the outside of the grocery store are you eating? What are you eating that's fresh and natural and good for you? And what are you eating that comes in plastic and you have to open it? What I'm saying is that it's okay to do some plastic as long as you're doing massive amounts of the outside. You can handle it. You can be a part of it. You can minister. You can be around it. But if you spend all your time in the middle, the outside, it's just you're not getting the nutrition you need. You're not getting the spiritual encouragement that you need. You're not getting the love that you need. Now, let's start adding some pieces in. That includes when we start going again, some of you guys have learned to rest. This has been one of the most precious things I've watched in our church over this last year in the pandemic. Some of you guys have really toned it down and napped. Don't lose the wisdom of this year. Don't start running again and go straight towards burnout. Be wise. Yeah, you can go do things. But are you happy? Are you loving? Are you kind? Are you tenderhearted? Are you precious? Are you serving the King? What's mastering you? That's the direction we need to go. Does that make sense? So here's our application. Revere God above all. This world is going to ask you to revere a new book, a new ideology, a new social application plan. One of the things that I was really appreciative, and this might step on toes, and I'm not trying to step on toes. I just was loving this idea. I know there's this concept of social justice. I saw somebody write gospel justice. That blew my mind. I want to be a part of gospel justice. Social justice is just humans creating new problems that we got to fix in 15 years. Or kicking the can further down the line. We've got to engage. We need to listen to people and hear their hearts, and we need to be there and we need to comfort them, but we also need to point them towards truth. And let me help you out. The person who doesn't want to move to truth is going to say you didn't listen long enough. And the person who wants to go to truth is going to be ticked at you because all you're doing is listening and you're not helping them. You get these two things. It's really interesting in these relationships, and we're all unique. Which means we got to talk, we got to share, we got to speak. As we keep moving forward, 3 W's, got to wear a mask, we got to wash our hands, and we got to watch our distance. The watching our distance is going to be different with different people. You've got to engage in conversation. Hey, you got to keep talking. You got to work back and forth and communicate. And one day you may be okay with 3 feet. And another day you want 5. And another day you want 2. And another day you want 8. Some of us aren't used to being around people. Have you been around people lately and walk away exhausted? Oh my gosh, I'm exhausted. I'm like, what is this? And God's all, oh, that's called emotional energy that you're spending in relationships. I'm like, oh my goodness. Okay. Revere God above all. Make God your highest priority. I preach that Scripture should be your authority. So anything that you want to bring to me, bring it to Scripture first. Sure, you read a great author. You read something by Mark Twain. You love what Melville wrote. Cool. Awesome. What does Scripture say? What should we do? Okay. The next one. Repent and get rid of ungodly practices. Repent and get rid of ungodly practices. Now, the church for so long has just picked ungodly practices that the church really doesn't struggle with, okay? And they've targeted certain things that only 3-4% of the population deal with, and everybody leaves church feeling good because they don't deal with it, and those people should deal with it. Here at Real Church, I call all of us out. I remember years ago, one person came, he's like, Pastor, I just want to come to church and be encouraged, and I want to be told that I'm good. And I'm like, well, when you are, I will. Like, I don't know what to tell you. No, it wasn't that direct, but I literally, in my head, was thinking that. I was like, oh, I come to church to be told how I need Jesus and where the answers are to go to Jesus. I do not need my pride puffed up. I do not need any help with that. I need to make sure that I am getting rid of ungodly practices. Ungodly practices could be you putting yourself down. And then you're upset that people don't see you as, so you do self-deprecation before people can hurt you, and then you feel that people hurt you. That's unfair. You need to get rid of that ungodly practice. You are a creation of the King. He designed you and he made you and he loves you. Don't attack the artist's work. Okay? Get rid of ungodly practices. Each of our ungodly practices are different. Some of us, we struggle with eating too much. Some of us, we exercise too much. Some of us, we're type A and we want to check too many boxes off. Your evil practices, or I feel like I can do these things. You could be the Skiva kids running in, trying to do it and make it happen. Get rid of those evil practices, okay? Cultivate a community where the word of the Lord can increase. Cultivate a community where the word of the Lord can increase. What does that mean? When you cultivate a community, that means I say to Tony, hey, Tony, what did you read in the Bible this week? What stood out to you? What grew in your heart? I say, hey, Jody, what is it that God is working on you, and what are the things that the roadblocks that you're coming against that you're trying to get past? Hey, Matt Smith, tell me about what you're dealing with and how you're struggling and the exhaustion that you're dealing with. Where are you finding refreshment in the King? And then me going to them, what do you want to ask me? Ask away. I was at a dinner meeting this other night, and we were talking and sharing, and people were sharing, and I just stopped, and I was like, what do you want to ask of me? What do you want to know? I'm being vulnerable. What do you want to know? Cultivate a community that's vulnerable. Let's not create a community that's defensive and argumentative and wants to fight and beat each other up. That destroys love and safety quick. Let's be a place that decides that we're going to create, and I love what Chelsea has been teaching us in leadership, a brave space. Trying to create a safe space is dumb. That's not possible. I've been thinking that for years. I've just never had the courage to say it. But somebody finally said, we should not have a safe space because whether we feel safe or not, there's so many variables. Let's create a brave space where you graciously walk in and take a little bit of a risk, that you share a little bit of who you are. And maybe next week you can share more, and you can share more, and you can share more. And our kindred, that our kindred would be brave, that our men's beer and Bible would be brave. For men, sorry, I'm going to call you out, that you can grow in your actual relationships. Let me help you out. All of your wives have asked me to talk to you to get you to have friends. Literally. Okay? I get it. Wives, don't side-eye them right now. This is not the time. What I want you to understand, men, is we have to grow in our relationships. And that's going to take bravery, courage to step out. You're like, man, it was hard enough to marry this woman. You want me to have other friends? Yes. Yes. Because in the time of trouble, you want people standing with you. So build it up so they're ready to fight with you. How about switch that? Fight for you. Okay? Create a community where the word of the Lord can increase. Let me ask you guys to bless me with something. I want you guys to be a community that's like, Pastor, preach the word. It may hurt us. Tell us the truth. Pastor, tell us what God is saying. Pastor, don't you hold back. Pastor, love us. When I had melanoma skin cancer, I didn't want my doctor to come in and go, well, you know, there's a few things that we may want to look at. I mean, if you're available, if you're open. I want that doctor to walk in and go, we're cutting that thing out. Your appointment is going to be in 5 days. You're going to have a 3-week recovery, and then we're going to look at you naked every 3 months the rest of your life. You good? More importantly, the doctor said to me, and you're going to pay for it. Okay? We need people like that who love us enough to tell us the truth. Haven't you had enough people in your life lie to you? Are you cultivating a community of liars around you? Is that good for you in the long run? We can still be loving. We can be tenderhearted. We can be gracious and gentle and faithfulness in truth. We can do it. I'm just being real with you so I get to be a jerk. No. I have to wrestle for days before I preach. And then I'm exhausted for days after I preach. If you don't believe me, I'll give you an opportunity to come up and preach. Chelsea and I would love the break. Okay? But what I'm trying to say to you guys is I need a community who's with me, who cultivates a place where we want the Spirit of God to reign. and we want to be mastered by God. That's my heart. We can do it. Not in our own power, not in our own strength. We can do it because there's a God who's blessed us with the Holy Spirit, who's leading us. Amen? Amen. So let's do this. Here's my blessing at the very end. Here's my close. May the Lord bless you to be a handkerchief. May the Lord bless you to be an apron. May the Lord bless you to line up with the rule, the reign, the authority of our King so that he can be glorified. And may you know Jesus. May you be aware of who Paul is. And may you know God's teaching. So when the enemy comes to you and lies, you know, that's not true. I know the truth. Because my community in Kindred, my community in Beer and Bible, my community in Bible study, and my community on Sunday has been teaching me the truth. And that's the truth. And what you just said is a lie. And I reject it. That's what I want you to have this day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Praise God for women who have been handkerchiefs and aprons, who have loved us and healed us and comforted us and pointed us towards truth. May God bless them in continuing to do that. I hope you have an absolute wonderful, wonderful day. And I really mean this sincerely. If my words have hurt you, I am so sorry. Please come talk to me. Let's talk. Let's chat. Let's do these things. I love you enough to listen to your heart and to hear what's going on. I also pray that these words bless you wherever you're at, wherever you hear these. God bless you guys. Have an absolute wonderful Sunday.